Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I am your host, James Seltzer. It is Friday, April the 13th, as we head into the weekend with an over 500 baseball team, as the Phillies sitting at 6-5 again, coming off the exciting 12-inning win a couple nights ago. Scotty Kingery walking it off for the first time in his major league career. It's a very professional at bat to get a sac fly into right field to score Pedro Florimond to give the Phillies the 4-3 win. As again, the Phillies have won 5 out of their last 6 games, playing really good baseball right now. And the thing that has been really enjoyable, and we'll get up to coming up in just a little bit, looking ahead to this weekend's action as the Phillies head down to Tampa to take on the Tampa Bay Rays for a 3-game set. But first and foremost, with the off day yesterday and heading into the weekend, a chance to reflect on the first 2 weeks of Phillies baseball, as we are officially just over 2 weeks into the season, 2 weeks as of yesterday, and it's been some ups and downs so far, hasn't it? As the Phillies, a rough start to the season, obviously a rough start to the season for Gabe Kapler, but the last 6 games, and granted, I know we've talked about this, but not the stiffest of competition facing the Marlins and the Reds, who will prove to be two of the worst teams in baseball. I think the Marlins will end up with the worst record in baseball, and I think there's a chance it's not that close. But you can only beat who's in front of you, and it's not just that the Phillies have won these games. Obviously, games they should win. They are a better baseball team, but it's more so the way they've gone about winning these games after such a rough start to the season with the 1-5 start, the Kapler hate, excuse me, the 1-4 start, and then the Kapler hate just flowing from every ounce of Philly Nation. And we'll get into the Kapler thing in just a couple minutes as well. But, a really tough start to the season for this team, a start where you have the local media, the national media even, talking about how ridiculous your manager is and how things are going to go south in a hurry, and anonymous players coming out and saying, oh, we just need to get the manager out of the way, and people are complaining about their lineup spot and this and that and this and that and this and that. And this team finds a way to come home in a homestand, a 6-game homestand, and take 5 of those games and take tough baseball games. They won 1 game 20-1. It was awesome. We all had a great time. I think we'll remember it for a while. But the other games were all tough-fought games that the Phillies found ways to win. They found ways to get runs late in games when they needed them. They found ways for the bullpen to keep the teams in games in those spots. Again, going back to that 12-inning game a couple nights ago, terrific 7 innings from Nick Pivetta. And granted, Hector Neris didn't help out in the 9th by blowing the save, but then able to get out of a tough jam after that. And then in extra innings, just Luis Garcia to Adubre Ramos to Hobie Milner to Yaxel Rios, who ultimately got the win. Just an outstanding performance from that bullpen. And it's been what we've seen since that first series in Atlanta. This team, this bullpen has really clamped down. And look, guys being used in the right spots, and they're coming through in those spots. And then you see a guy like Pivetta come out a couple days ago and pitch his second straight gem again against bad teams. But it does wonders for his confidence moving forward. To be a great pitcher, you got to believe that you could be a great pitcher. Pitching is, confidence is such an important part of being a pitcher. So getting Pivetta these early season starts against bad teams and having him have so much success, I think is only a positive moving forward. And as we said yesterday and have said many times during the offseason, that if Pivetta can turn into that number 3 type of guy for this team, even a 4 posing as a 3, it would really be a huge, huge advantage for this team moving forward into the future as they try to contend for a playoff spot this season. So along those lines, quickly, just want to say how impressed I've been with this team and the way they've banded together after a tough start to the season. And obviously the reason for part of that tough start was the Gabe Kapler situation. And, you know, if you listen to this show at all, you know that I was one who was not calling for Kapler's job, nor bashing Kapler nearly as much as others. For me, at least, the only thing that Kapler did that I have a real, real problem with was the fact that he called for Hobie Milner in that Atlanta game, and Hobie Milner was not ready because he had not warmed up. Never seen that before. That was worrisome. But outside of that, I think you can justify the other decisions he made early on. The decision to pull Nola, the bullpen changes that he made. You know, I think those are all justifiable decisions in one way or another, whether they proved to be right or wrong. But what we've seen since is we've seen this team, you know, play well for Kapler. After the whole hubbub and all the unrest, this team has clamped down and played well for this guy at home. And look, I think he's managed really well over this six-game streak here. You know, look, I know there have been spots, and it seems like people only bring up the spots where the shift is a failure and where the shift caused them to lose something. But we've seen a lot of situations where the shift has proved to be perfect. We saw a lot of Cincinnati players hit balls that would have been hits if the shift weren't there. And if you weren't watching the games, then you can't deny it. If you were watching the games, you know it's true. Joey Votto, there were at least three times where he was out this series because of a shift. And one time he was smart enough to hit it to the opposite field and get a single because the shift was there. That's what good hitters should be able to do. They don't most of the time. Most hitters don't adjust and hit to the opposite field, and hence the shifts have been so successful. So, look, shout out to Gabe Kapler for navigating his way through the early season struggles. And look, there may be more struggles down the road. Who knows? I'm not saying Gabe Kapler's a lock to be a great manager. All I was saying that the man deserved a chance, and I think the last week has borne out that he did deserve a chance and still does deserve a chance. So for all the haters still out there, please, please give the man a chance, as this team is fighting hard for him right now. And again, gutty wins, tough wins for this team over the last few days, and that's really what you want to see. And one of the big reasons for those wins as well was has been the play of Scott Kingery. And I was talking to Jack Fritz last week, and Jack thought that Kingery looked like a rookie out there, and that was it to be expected, that we shouldn't expect this kid to play, you know, to have all these expectations on top of him. And to you know, this kid's playing as a rookie in the major leagues, his first ever Major League Baseball action. And I, at the time, I kind of agreed, but I wasn't 100% on board with it. And ever since, it has just proved again and again and again that Scott Kingery looks nothing like a rookie out there. He looks terrific. And look, he goes from on, the Red Series, a series of firsts for him. In the first game, he hits his first career home run. In the second game, he hits his first career grand slam. Then in the third game, he hits his first career walk-off. Who knows what's coming next? But look, and not just that, Kingery threw a guy out from left field in his first major league start in left field, his first real action left field at any level, as not playing a ton of left field prior to that. He's played third base. He's played shortstop. It's funny enough, the only position he really hasn't played has been second base, his natural position. But I've just been so impressed with what we've seen from Scott Kingery's ability to fit into the lineup and have good at bats and make good contact. He's already got two home runs, obviously, one being a grand slam, but that at bat to get the sac fly to walk it off was such a professional at bat. And Ben Davis and Tom McCarthy talked about it as well. But it was just such a professional at bat. He went up there knowing that all he had to do was hit the ball to the outfield. He just had to hit a fly ball. That was it. And he found a way to make that happen. The pitcher knows that too. The pitcher's pitching against that. Bryce Austin looked great earlier in the series. And Kingery finds a way to get it done. And it was just, I've been really impressed with Scott Kingery, especially as a kid with a lot of hype obviously surrounding him and the contract signed before the season, before the career even started. I think the early returns on Scott Kingery have been just outstanding. And then on top of that, the fact that he does have the ability to just be stuck in anywhere on a baseball diamond, it seems, is such a massive advantage in today's game. When you look at the way that rosters are constructed, you think about the importance of bullpen pieces, the Phillies carrying an extra bullpen guy for a while here, all that type of stuff. To have a guy who you can insert into pretty much any position on the diamond other than catcher is such an insane advantage from a roster construction perspective that it's really exciting to have a guy like Kingery on this team. And I think there's the we're seeing the beginning of a long, fun run here with Scott Kingery. And you got to love the joy of the game that he has and the energy that he plays with. It's just been really fun to see Kingery step on the scene and step on it so aggressively, and really just the whole crew of youth that there is on this team. Obviously, we were talking on the midday show yesterday about Kingery and Hoskins, and if you had to choose one, and forever, you know, to build a team around, and it was a really hard question. Personally, I would go Hoskins because I think it's so projectable when you look at this guy, what kind of hitter he's going to be for the long run. He has always gotten on base. He has always hit for power. He's such a smart hitter. He studies tape like a nerd. I love everything about him. And look, I think you could make the argument for either player. It's a beautiful thing. But I would take him over Kingery just because I think he's a little more projectable, and I think his offensive ceiling is so much higher. But what Kingery can do from a versatility defensive standpoint for you has just been such a boon for this team, and I think it's going to be a boon for a long time into the future. But in addition to those two guys, it's just so exciting when you think about this team 3-4 years ago, right? You know, you're sitting here in 2012, 2013, 2014, and, you know, 2012, really, the still some of the guys from the old core there, you know, you got Utley and Howard and those guys here, but on the downslope, and then 13, 14, and you're watching guys like Tommy Joseph hit in the cleanup spot, and Tommy Joseph was a hell of a nice guy, really good dude, terrible baseball player. And it was a team full of guys who you just knew weren't a part of the future. And the interesting part is there are a couple guys there, like a guy like Cesar Hernandez, who didn't look like he would be a part of the future, is turning into a really big part of the future. Talked about that a lot on yesterday's show, how good a player Cesar has become and how impressed I've been with him, and how I absolutely think that he could be a piece of an important, you know, important piece on a championship team in the future. But in addition, I mean, you just look at compared to then now, with the youth and the talent on this team, you've got a guy like Aaron Nola, who we were discussing the other day, could be a top 10, top 15 pitcher in baseball right now. And then Kingery and Hoskins, two guys who both have ceilings that are through the roof. I mean, you could, Joe DeCamera compared them to Bagwell and Biggio, and I didn't think it was crazy. I mean, they're both Hall of Famers, and I'm not saying that Kingery or Hoskins or either one are going to get to the Hall of Fame, but the fact that you can say those types of names when thinking about the excitement around the youth of these guys, and then, you know, all the other parts that this team has, whether it's J.P. Crawford, who at 23, obviously some hitting issues, but playing stellar defense at the most important position in the sport in the major leagues, and then starting to hit a little bit. Monster bomb a couple nights ago. Alfaro has looked really good behind the plate. You got Williams, you got Altair. Odubel has been locked in this season. There's just so much young talent on this team and so many things to be excited about. And that's not even talking about, and, you know, forgetting Jake Arrieta and Carlos Santana were not young talent, but talent. But then you think about the minor leagues. This is a thing that even with guys like Kingery coming up and Crawford coming up, they still have a top 10 system in all of baseball. They have so much exciting pitching depth. They have guys like Adam Haseley and Mickey Moniak. Not giving up on Moniak yet. I know some people are. He was the number one pick. I still have hope. Adam Haseley has been too good almost in the minors. I've been shocked at how great he's been. Seventh pick in the draft, not totally shocked, but Haseley's been great. And then from a pitching perspective, you got guys like Sixto Sanchez, who are a top 20 prospect in all baseball, ready to go. So it is an awesome time to be a Philadelphia Phillies fan, and it's well-deserved after the years we've gone through the last 6 or 7 years here in this city. But baseball is finally back, and the ballpark's going to start filling up, and people are going to be down there. And it's, you all remember it, what it was like in 07, 08, 09, 10, 11. It was the coolest place to be. It was the thing to do. That is what it can be like again. This town is a baseball town, and when this team is good, there is nothing better. So it is really exciting to not just think about how good this team can be right now and that they can contend, but the future and the offseason with money to spend and all that type of stuff. It is just what a great time to be a Phillies fan, and it's exciting. And they're over 500, which is exciting here and the now as well as the future. It's not all about the future anymore, as it has been for a while. It's about the now and the future. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. All right, coming up in after my Phillies love, as we've just broken this down, and well-deserved. It's really exciting to have a team that is compelling, and you have guys you can root for and look forward to watching their careers. It really is reminiscent of Rollins and Howard Nutley, and when all those guys came up and finally having something to get excited about, it really feels similar to that. All right, coming up in just a minute, we are going to dive into the upcoming series with the Rays, as well as take a look at some of the stats for this Phillies team through the first 2 weeks of the season, what stands out, and a whole lot more. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. We're coming right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.